Rusty Quill presents.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
Still in search of Calamanite's full name, the crew departs the seal wastes for the Scuttle Steps creation point, as that information suggests its tutor is not allied with Uncle Edict. And indeed, upon their arrival, the crew overhears a conversation in which Tutor Larch refuses to use Rat as a tool of enlightenment, in spite of underhanded threats made by one of Edict's loyal specters. With Larch's permission, Celestine connects to the Creation Point server, and once again, he, Crater, and Simon relive a memory from a time when Celestine was called Rom. Within the recollection, he locates Quintessa Sombra, who is working with Rom's maker, Advisor Fate, on what they call meditation training. But in reality, they are attempting to willfully enter the digital network, as they believe a successful entry could allow the group to bypass Regent FaZe's control over the amplifier. Here, Celestine also recalls his maker referring to three individuals by specific titles: the Guardian, the Ward, and the Fusion, all of whom will be an important part of Rom's greater purpose to prevent the Regent from perfecting immortality. Sombra, carrying the moniker of the Ward, introduces Rom to her companions and allies, one of whom he recognizes as Monophonic Vultralect, who Sombra identifies as the Fusion. There is one other person present at their meditation training, but the crew simply cannot make out the shape of this fuzzy figure. And when Monophonic introduces them, their name slides out of the crew's minds in the exact same manner as when one is denamed. Rom meets this denamed individual, and though he cannot recall most of the conversation, he does retain two important details. This person is the Guardian, and the spouse of Regent FaZe. Back in the present, Simon realizes that the titles of Guardian, Ward, and Fusion could also be applied to the Three Fools, with stalwart Crater Wayne as the Guardian, young Celestine as the Ward, and Fae-turned-human Simon as the Fusion. Simon discloses that during the reverie he received a message from the Empress, claiming the Fools will soon become one, and reaches out to her for clarification. When she appears, Simon requests from her a boon, Calamanite's full name. But alas, it can never be that easy for our heroes. The Empress confirms that the great beast is the keeper of history, and only by learning the history it keeps can the fools learn its name. And how are they to access this history? Why, through the memory of the only being still living that existed during that time, Celestine Wanderoff. The conclusion of the conversation is punctuated by the ringing of Celestine's pip as he receives a call from his self-proclaimed bestie, Harley Highstakes. Harley reveals she is quite ready to move forward with their plan and teleport herself to Troponia Vega, but there is a catch. Disclosing that her teleportation circle will have her appear inside Risco Tech Casino, Harley will require our heroes to help break her out. And, like all good criminals, our crew agree for a price.
I can hear you.
I am listening.
I can hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Collide.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork.
The neon.
The networks.
Oh, these metropolises. These
verdant,
desolate biomes.
Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success. You will be tried.
You will be
compromised. I repeat, we have been compromised.
But do not despair.
You will
see the world.
You will
know
Planet Arcana.
You will find
all it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little audacity.
All it takes is a key.
Two recovered memories in the rearview mirror and a heist at Risco Tech Casino ahead of you. You sit together at the Scuttle Steps creation point, having just finished discussing everything you've gathered from the previous memories. Advisor Fate is Celestine's, or at least Rom's, maker. Regent FaZe has some deep connection with the moon. Sombra, the Ward, Voltrelec the Fusion, and a third, the Guardian, were doing meditation training in order to access the networks. The Guardian, that mysterious third, one without a name. These big revelations from the past circle your brains, competing with the information you've received about the present events, namely Edict's actions to take regency. You hang up your pip call with Harley, and you hear someone approaching from behind, wheeling through the dirt.
Hey... Buds? Everybody doing good back here?
Yep, nothing.
Yeah, just three people hanging out in a field.
Being normal!
Very, very normal.
Tutor Larch sort of wheels their chair, like, weaving between the cornfield. I assume that you guys, like, found a little spot that's, like, tucked away in the maze, but sort of, like, maybe a dead end of the maze.
Cute. I like that.
And so they just get a little closer, and...
We just want you to know that we did not get lost in here. We definitely ended up here on purpose.
and we were gonna find our way out.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no. I mean, I wasn't really super worried about that. Like, the kids sometimes go in here and they get a little lost, but like, I honestly...
You just let the kids run around in here? This place is crazy.
Well, I mean, to be honest, like, when the kids get lost, they just kind of like, you know, run straight through the corn back out, so it's never really an issue, but figured that you guys were in here for a little bit longer than expected, and...
Just go through the corn. All right.
Right, all yeah. Right. Anyway, you sort of walked in on me having a conversation with someone, and I just feel like I wasn't really in like the best mind space to greet you, so just wanted to see like everything good, and if you need anything from me or the Creation Point in general.
Well, if you're able to put us all up for the night, that would be appreciated.
Oh yeah for sure. Space is a little tight. We've got, you know, a lot of kids here at the moment, but if you're willing to, you know, share a bed or two, we can totally make something work, yeah.
Now share a bed with the kid, though, no.
No, I mean between the between the three of us.
Oh, okay.
This is the ethical Creation Point, and I think that that's probably a clear
so
line.
So you've
got to
make that decision for yourself, I think.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, yeah, staying here, no problem. I have a sensitive question, maybe.
We're sensitive people.
I just, I really feel like I recognize the two of you from somewhere, and kind of looks at Crater and Celestine.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No.
No?
I mean, unless you mean just a few minutes ago when we met.
Yeah. I mean, when that happened, it just kind of like pinged in my brain, and then I, you know, was just like scrolling through my pip a couple minutes ago, and then I remember seeing some posts about, you know, CGA. Pretty sure I saw you guys on stage.
Crater slowly creeps his hand towards his great axe. Like, I'm not trying to do it threateningly. I'm just like, I'm
getting
preparing
ready
to be found out here.
Yeah.
And just in case.
And then Simon says, no. These two very well-known drug dealers. That's why they're on stage, is because musicians love them.
Holy shit, make a persuasion check.
Yeah, fair.
A disadvantage.
A disadvantage because that was a nat 20.
Oh,
okay. Oh.
Throw it in the
persuasion,
trash.
Persuasion. Oh, okay. No big deal. 24.
Oh, wow. Who needs a 20?
Who needs a 20? Who needs a 20 when you got a 14 plus 9?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Drug dealers, huh? Like, what kind of drugs?
Rat.
Rat?
We love rat.
I mean, like, yeah, rat.
We don't sell to children, period.
We don't sell to children. We don't sell in order to manipulate children, yes.
I think at that last thing that you said, Simon, her face sort of like narrows in on you a little bit. Like you said like a trigger phrase in there, and she's like, yeah, I don't really intend to do that either. But you kind of never know these days. You know what I mean? People are just... slinging around all sorts of drugs coming from all sorts of places, and you know, it would just be a shame to see it change someone's life and you know, end up manipulating or hurting people, especially young people.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta ask then, if you're drug dealers, what are you doing at my Creation Point, and who's your supply from?
Well, supply, that's easy. It's from this fella right here, the best rat maker in the entire Fifth Collide.
Okay, let's everybody take a step back. Listen, we're the good guys. We
the 50% good guys.
We make and distribute rat for adults to have a good time, unlike some certain factions of the Fifth Collide, i.e. the Spectres. You know, we're completely separate from that. We are completely against what the Spectres are doing. And yeah.
We're grassroots, baby.
Yeah.
Hmm. If I'm picking up what you're putting down, what I'm hearing is that you're against what edict's been, you know, trickling out to A, the public, and B, people like, you know, tutors at Creation Points.
At the mention of edict's name, Celestine just spits on the ground.
Aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. I just got a visit earlier from someone who is one of his right-hand guys. And, you know, she was pushing real hard for me to start not only giving out the rap, but taking it myself. And I'm, it's just not, that's not really the way that I want to operate this place, you know? Doesn't feel good. doesn't feel good at all, but she's really pushing. A lot of people are getting a lot of pressure all around the creation points. And what can we do, you know? Like, we're just kind of stuck here, like, not being able to say anything lest we lose our jobs to someone who, you know, is going to distribute the rat. It's a tricky situation.
Yeah, especially when you have to adhere to a sense of ethics. So confusing.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know. A lot of us, you know, all the tutors really have to adhere to a sense of ethics, but me especially, trying to teach it, and I'm getting pressure to change my lesson plan, and it just... It doesn't sit well with me, you know? And listen, I'm really putting my trust in here telling you all this. But I'm getting the sense that you're not really interested in what Edict has to say just based on what you've told me. So I'm, you know, putting a lot of faith in you right now. And I'm choosing to lean on my ethical side of, you know, trying to talk about what's going on instead of just keeping it hidden.
That's much appreciated.
But I can trust you, right?
Trust us to do what, exactly?
Well, I'm trusting A, that you're not, you know, one of Edict's guys.
Well, most certainly not.
Super not.
That is a fact.
Do you want some rat?
Like, better rat than what Edict is pushing.
I'm a little nervous about just taking rat in general because of the state of things lately. I obviously used to love it, but it just doesn't feel right these days. You know, I kind of want to keep my guard up, especially if Goldie Kincaid starts coming back around and... pressuring me, you know?
Well, what about just some good on Wild's weed, then?
Yep, weed is totally A-okay by me. Honestly.
Hey, we're smoking in the maze.
That's right. Yeah, Celestine just immediately then takes that as permission to light up a big one and start passing it around the circle.
Oh, man, we're never getting out of here. Hell yeah.
We're going to die in this corn maze, aren't we?
With our friends.
I think the third or fourth pass around of the joint, Larch gets even more upfront about just like what's on their mind about all this stuff, and just kind of starts talking about like just things you already know, things that he's already said about Edict and opinions of him, but then starts to talk about something that the Canadian accent is so close to the real way that I'm speaking that I'm having a hard time separating it from just my regular talking voice. Sorry about that. Anyway, Larch starts to talk about something that sort of grabs your attention a little bit more. Yeah, you know, like I said, like there's a lot of us who, you know, are planning to voice our dissent towards Edict, but it's tough, like I said, you know, because like none of us want to lose our jobs at the friggin' creation points, you know what I mean? Like if we lose our jobs, then we just have bad tutors come in and they'll do even worse stuff. So it feels more valuable for us to keep our posts here, right? You know what I mean? But there is someone that we kind of have got our eyes on, the Spectre in Paragarden, who can represent us and our movement. You know what I mean? They started a show or like an emergency broadcast from Paragarden after the disaster, and they were like asking for supplies and specific ways to get help and stuff. But they've also just started to use their show and their platform to talk critically about Edict and his emergency election plan.
What is the name of this specter?
Yeah, so maybe you'll recognize them. They actually used to be really popular on PIP with young people on Thrillish Public Access, which I don't know if you grew up around here, but I used to watch that a lot as a kid. Yeah, they had a show. I don't remember the name of the show, but the Spectre's name is Finale 13.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think good. Just like a knowing glance to Crater and Simon without giving anything away at this time.
Yeah, so, you know, like I've been watching a lot of like what's going on in Paragarden and crazy, hey, what's happened after the tsunami and everything, and but yeah I that's why I actually recognized you two, because I've just been watching a lot of like Paragarden clips and news, and saw you guys on some CGA clips.
Yeah, it was real heroin getting out of there.
Yeah, I bet. Hey,
yep.
I was not a spider during that time.
Neither was I.
Oh, so cool.
That's crazy, though. Might have been easier, I don't know.
To be a spider.
Do spiders float?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, well, anyway, yeah, we're just kind of, like, watching what this Spectre is doing from Paragarden. We're, like, obviously would really like to contact them and kind of just get them to, you know, be able to like push our message a little bit more. And like I said, like a lot of us are just like stationary at the creation points, but there's actually this pair of tutors up in the cold breaks, and one of them is staying put. The other's been like, you know, getting stuff done, delivering messages, like that kind of stuff. So friends all around, you know.
What's the term? Mutiny.
Are edicts people outnumbering you at this point? No.
I mean, the thing is that edicts people are like, they just have a lot of power being high up in like the faction. So numbers is not super representative of like what you can do. Does that make sense?
No, I get that.
Kind of an ethical dilemma in itself. Oh, by the way, before you leave, I just wanted to let you know that like a question that we have to ask everybody who's staying overnight and just, you know, people who drop by and whatnot is that I'd just love to hear your definition of ethics.
Well, we're 50% good.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Would you say you're 50% good?
Me?
Yeah. That's hard to achieve.
Well, I mean, I would argue that like good is too hard to define. You know, I don't know what good, what's the opposite of good, evil or bad?
Evil.
Wrong? Evil? Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, I certainly don't want to be any percent evil, but I don't know that I can be 100% good all the time.
I think it's inevitable to be a little evil.
Yeah. I could agree with that. Takes a huge suck of the spliff.
Now, that's why we have the rule, so we don't feel bad, so we don't feel too hard on ourselves.
Oh, like 50% is your rule?
Yes.
Does that mean after being good for so long that you have to do something bad or evil?
It is perhaps an at least 50% good situation.
50 plus.
I mean, like, if we find ourselves straying too far one way, then, like, we have permission to go the other way to try to balance it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We've helped a lot of people, and then maybe we can, like, one day we have to do something a little bit more morally gray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because we did all the good a couple days before.
Yeah. And being too good, what is perfectionism if not the appearance of perfection? That's not helping anybody.
I need you to expand on what you mean by that.
Okay, okay. You know what? One sec. Simon takes some glasses out of his pocket and puts them on.
Celestine sits down in the dirt cross-legged. I think this is going to be good.
Is there like 8 lenses on this pair of glasses?
Oh my God. Refract your eyes into a mirror. That's so good.
Yes. I stole them.
From another spider.
From another spider. Okay. So... yeah, Simon clicks his heels together and clears his throat. Ethics and morality can sometimes blur. Ethics are distinct from morality as they aim to help make unbiased decisions that maximize android, human, and fey well-being. But ethical standards may sometimes conflict, making it difficult to establish the healthiest path. Therefore, I believe our 50% rule to be an efficient harm versus benefit rule we've put into place in order to best navigate complex ethical dilemmas on this journey. In our group, there may be times when our collective competing beliefs, interests, and known information complicate the decision-making process, and when moral and ethical questions cause us to question our own beliefs. I propose that our 50% evil is merely a necessary means toward worthy attempts at goodness. Or if it's not, what better use of our agency than to bring joy to each other? In conclusion, the 50% method is the only viable solution to our need for a fast-paced, systematic approach to decision-making that prioritizes the knowledge, wisdom, impartiality, and compassion that is known to exist within us as a group, while maintaining a sense of neutrality when required for greater well-being in the Fifth Collide.
You're a weird little guy, Simon.
Damn.
Simon, may I? I think I speak for all of us when I say, holy shit.
You know what I think is that if someone has thought about ethics like as much as you guys have, and you know, put as much of their, just you know, their whole heart into something like that, and they've really thought about it from a nuanced angle, then I love what you're preaching here. I love your judgment. I'd love to, you know, take some of this for my own lesson plan, to be honest. This is really, really great. Thank you so much.
Happy to get into it.
Me too.
It's the weed.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I got to stop spilling my guts to everybody who comes in here and offers me a joint.
Might be a little dangerous to you, to be honest. Put you in a complex situation.
I kind of just go off vibes, if you know what I mean. And y'all had vibes that were just undeniable. So I just started talking and then I didn't stop. And then now you know everything.
We have undeniable vibes. That's cool. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. Hey, thanks for stopping by. Again, I'm sorry that it was kind of, you know, tense when you got here. And would love to house you guys at any point. And if you ever see any posters go up or pip posts about, you know, our movement, would love just, you know, a little support, either vocally or, you know, whatever you can do is super helpful for this kind of thing. So
thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to go and check on the kids. And sometimes when they milk the goats, I don't really know what I'm looking for, but I just want to make sure that nobody's doing something wrong. So I'm making sure the goats are okay.
What's the unethical way to milk goat?
Without permission.
Too much.
Easy as dick.
Well, wait, hold on now. I think you've got the wrong goat.
Depends on what it thinks.
Wrong goat.
What it wants.
Goat's all wrong.
That goat ain't right. Yeah.
Do y'all cast speak with animals and talk to the goats to see if they want to be milked?
Yes.
Oh, I don't have any abilities like as such, but you know, if I'd love to foster that with the kids for sure. Are you able to do that?
I suppose I could make the rounds to some of your goats and see how they feel about milking. Seems to me like the ethical thing to do is to acquire consent.
Great call. I'm a little nervous to play this out, to be honest, so maybe we'll just hit this up in a montage.
All good.
Oh my God.
Milk me.
I hate this.
Oh. Tudor Larch salutes you and then wheels out of the... out of the corn maze, decidedly not taking the path and just going straight through the corn as they described.
Perfect.
Good work, gang.
Yes, good work to you, Simon. Where did that come from? When? You've been doing a lot of thinking.
I think a lot. Sometimes I get lost in there, but it's nice.
Well, your thoughts are remarkable and eloquent, and I'm just in awe.
Wow. Thank you, Celestine. And Simon picks up Celestine and gives him a big hug.
Well,
and then cradles him like a baby.
This is, I feel weird about how nice this feels.
You know, I know I think a lot, but just don't think about it too much.
Don't think about how much you think.
No, don't think about how good this feels. Just accept it.
Button your shirt back up, Simon. Come on. What?
Okay, he drops Celestine. Sorry.
All this talk of milking.
It's all right.
Yeah. It's all right. Is it the bits again?
Is it the bits
again? It never stops being the bits.
Never.
I think we found our episode 69 title.
What? Milk me?
I was going to say, is it the bits again?
Is it the bits again?
Milk me's good. Oh, fuck.
Milk me.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
We could get more into that this episode if we needed to.
Yeah.
Because fake can be milked.
I'm sure it'll come up naturally again. Yeah.
Surely. Inevitable.
It keeps doing that, so.
Well, y'all, I think it was probably correct that we did not reveal our relationship with 13, but perhaps we could reach out to them or to JD and
JD.
See if 13 can include some of Tudor Larch's messaging in their broadcasts.
I love that.
If 13 is being a public voice against Edict, then I think they're on the same side as Larch and Chestnut and all the other tutors resisting. It sounds like they could use some help.
That is a good vibe.
Oh, I feel awful saying this, but were we not supposed to message JD about something?
Who?
Well, here's the thing. We do have pip service, and none of our pips have blown up with emoji messages. So I assume that JD is not looking for us at the present moment.
Okay. This is funny. I haven't thought about him in a while.
That happens with us and JD.
What do you think he's up to right now?
I don't know. Reading a book and just being weird.
It's pretty likely.
I was gonna say there's about a 90% chance that either of those things are currently true.
75% for both.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, all right. Well, Crater, did you have 13's contact information?
Oh, I'm sure I do.
Yeah, for sure.
Is this like a text or is this like a phone call kind of conversation, you think?
Oh, my stars. Well, I hadn't even considered that. Perhaps it is, perhaps we do owe 13 more than just a text. We haven't reached out to them since Paragarden fell.
I want to meet them.
They're really cool.
Cool. I like their name. 13.
Are we doing this right now? We're all really high and in the middle of a field, but like, I guess that's not too out of character for us.
It is, nope. And 13 has been high with us. I think they'll appreciate that, you know, some things haven't changed.
All right. Okay, fuck it. Okay. Weirdly nervous. Okay, whatever. I'll scroll through my contacts and I'll...
You're good, dude.
I call 13.
Okay. It rings a couple times and then when they... Are you doing a video call or a regular call?
I'm going to do a video call. Okay. So all three of us can be seen.
Well, I think that when they pick up, you notice that the service is really poor. The video quality is really poor and so is the audio quality, but the call does go through and you see 13's face and... In the background, you see the church and the flowers.
Hey, oh my God, Crater. It's so good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here with Celestine. Say hi, Celestine.
Hey, 13.
Hey.
We're in a corn maze.
Hey, oh, very fun. Oh, wait, are you, I totally know where you are. Are you at the Scuttlestuff's creation point?
Yes. Well, yeah, but don't say it so loud.
Sorry. Wait, why?
I don't know. Is there anybody there to hear? We're trying to keep a low profile.
No, it's just me and the Fae.
Well, oh, one game of truth or dare and our secret's blown all to hell.
Classic. And
also, speaking of Fae, we got a little Simon here.
Hi.
Hi.
He's nice.
Hey, good to meet you. I'm 13.
Yeah, I know.
I met the... Oh, okay, cool.
You have a really cool name. 13.
Thank you 13. So much. Yeah, I kind of like it's modeled after my affinity with death. You know, what's up with that? Thank you. No one ever compliments me on my name. I love that. Yeah, I met Crater and Celestine when they were in Paragarden. How do you know them?
I was attached to Riot as a spider, and when she died, something weird happened, and I transformed into a human, and then I decided to join them on their journey, and I've kind of just been tagging along ever since.
No shit, hey?
But I'm a fae.
Wow. And now you are... I'm sorry if this is rude, but now you're a human.
Kinda, in a sense.
Oh my God. That is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. You're telling me.
Oh, man. Sorry, my brain is like a buzz with theories and shit. I gotta like... Hey, would you mind if I like talk to some of the Fae around here about...
Yes!
That?
Yes, do it.
Yeah, okay, because I can keep your secret. That's totally fine with me.
No. I have no idea what I'm doing, and actually I'm kind of scared about getting back to my other form.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay, well...
Just like one of these days would be nice.
I hear you. Yeah, if you need any help, like I'm very happy to talk to any of, you know, I'm not in with the Fae, but they do me favors every once in a while. And
oh, that means you're in with the Fae. That means you're in with the Fae.
Okay, cool. Awesome. cool. Okay, this is so great. It's so nice to hear from you guys. Do you need anything? It's been so wild here since you got out.
Yeah, I mean, It's been interesting for us as well, and apologies for not contacting you sooner. But here we are, and as far as do we need anything, I don't think we do, but we understand that you have been a prominent presence speaking up against Edict and his plans.
Yeah, badass.
Thanks. That's sort of a new thing. Like, I think I mentioned to you guys when you were here that I, like, used to have a show on Pip and sort of realized that I couldn't remember why I had stopped it, you know? I think I seem to remember I used to enjoy parts of it, and it ended up being really helpful to just get, like, supplies in and stuff like that to help people, you know, rebuild and recover. And then I had a bunch of followers on Pip suddenly, and I was like, well, might as well start using it to, like, talk about what's going on with Ida, because that shit is insane. Like, it honestly needs to be stopped, and I'm just a guy in Bear Garden, so I don't really know what to do, but at least I can tell people and get them aware.
Way you're using your platform is admirable.
Thanks.
And it seems that you are not the only specter that thinks the way that you do. The tutor here at Scuttle Steps is certainly against what Edict is doing, as is Tutor Chestnut. And it appears that they find themselves in a sticky situation, wanting to resist Edict's influence, but worried that they will lose their position here and any authority that they may have if they resist. And so we were wondering if you might want to, I don't know, use your judgment, but increase your support for the anti-edict movement that is definitely out there, so that these folks know that they are not alone, and perhaps if a big enough contingent of people are willing to speak out against edict, then they might be protected from reprisal.
Hell yeah, dude. That sounds awesome. I'm totally down for that. I'm assuming that means that the info that I gave you about which specters were, edict's people has been accurate so far?
So far, it does seem that way.
Super glad to hear that. Yeah, totally down to help them with any movement that they're cooking up. I'll do what I can. I'm kind of in a unique position because, like, I'm in the faction, but people don't really give a shit about what I'm doing since it's not super relevant to, like, what's going on, with, like, current events and stuff like that, which is great for me. I get what I need resource-wise, and people don't seem to notice me, although I'm sure that's bound to change after what I've been doing. But that's okay. I'm okay, and I think I'm protected, at least just being in a major city.
That's silly that they don't care.
I mean, there's only so much money for research, and, investigating things like the collective journey is... Especially something like that that's so open to interpretation and what you believe is sort of is paramount, you know what I mean? And that's what the specters are about. It's about belief and faith, and I'm being a bit more technical about it, and it's not like I'm not allowed, it's just that it's not really at the forefront of their priorities.
What's your take on it?
The collective journey?
Mm-hmm.
How long do you have? Because 13 is about ready to give a 2-hour sermon on the collective journey.
I really am. I mean, just as a, I'll try to keep it brief, but I think that it's possibility. I think that it's a great shift. I think that it could be so many things. And really where my research is not about the collective journey, but more so about how to find the signs of it and find any tangible evidence of it existing. You know what I mean? So I was telling your friends when they were here about, like, the false starts that I had noticed, just like times in history that seemed like it was leading to a great point of intense or heightened magic, things like that. And then they would just drop off with no climax almost. nice. So that's sort of the area of my research is just trying to figure out what leads to a collective journey. And like I was telling your friends that I think that one has started and we're in the middle of one right now.
13, when we get to spend some time with you next, we have a lot more information to provide you and fill out some of your research, but until then, I will just say, keep your eye on the goings-on this year, because I think you're right that we're in a collective journey now, and I suspect that this one will achieve climax. That sounded weird
nice.
As I said
nice.
It.
Nice. Nice, dude.
Nice. Episode 69, baby. Get them all out of your system.
Yeah, we've had collective journey blue balls.
Yeah, sick. That's fucking awesome. Hey, listen, I'd love to chat. It's slow going here in Pear Garden. Like, there's lots of work to be done, but luckily my church was almost entirely unharmed. It just was too high up for the water to reach, so I am very privileged and blessed to still have a place to hang out, and obviously doors are open to you whenever you'd like to come back.
How are the Fae?
They're good. They're honestly they're helping rebuild in ways that no one can see, and that is really special. And they are also demanding a lot of truth and dare from people who are trying to work, and I think that it's nice.
That's so beautiful.
And is JD still with you?
No, but
no, he's passed.
Just like unceremoniously.
You remember that tree he texted you? Well, he fell out of it.
Wow.
I'd buy it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, actually, we've been in contact, although that's a strong word, because I have been in contact with him, but I'm just getting a lot of emojis.
That's how it works with him.
But yeah. I was able to decipher one of his early messages, and I think what happened was him, along with a bunch of other people from Paragarden, when the water came and rushed everyone out, a lot of people were caught in the wave, and a lot of people ended up at the Feyfield's creation point because the water just went so far leading back to the ocean. And so there's just a big group of people at the Feyfield's, you know, just recovering, and JD's totally fine. He's been, you know, been an effort there to just help people get back on their feet and get back to Paragarden where they live mostly. So he's good.
All right. That's good to know.
It's like the plot from Come From Away.
Nice.
I don't know it.
Don't know it.
Oh, just like, you know, how like all the people from 9/11 ended up in Gander, Newfoundland.
Oh my God. Yes.
I'm just envisioning that being the case. And I think it's kind of nice. Like all the Fae being like, come on down. They're all the Newfoundlanders.
That's 100% true.
That's sweet.
Come on down. We got plenty of dares to go around.
Yeah.
And the Fae Fields creation point is the one that you first visited with Tudor Spruce.
Right.
Right. Right. So. Good people there.
And linger.
Well, 13, if you are, if you're looking for an ally in your, how should we say it, budding insurrection against Edict.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that word's a little loaded.
I'm obsessed.
Movement.
Budding.
Blossoming
insurrection.
We've been smoking a little weed. We got some fresh stuff from Mom and Paul, and it is, well, it's taking effect.
What about raging insurrection?
Raging insurrection. Oh, that's good, Simon. I like that.
A raging erection?
No. Well, no. Look.
Did I mishear you? Sorry, the service is so bad. Hey, if you got a little extra of that, can you send it here? I've been low, and it's hard to get any in Paragarden right now.
Woof.
How long would it take Celestine to learn Dimension Door so I can just deliver some?
Yeah, just sit at this creation point for the next 2 or 3 weeks and get ready to
good stuff.
All I meant to say was you should contact the tutors of the Cransimmon Grove. Creation point. You will find allies there, certainly.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm definitely down to help them with anything that they need and down to be a voice because I know it's probably a sticky situation for them.
Ethics, am I right?
Yeah. Is Tutor Large still the tutor at Scuttlestaff's?
Yeah, yes. they're kind of chill.
They're chill.
Nice. Yeah, she's awesome. Actually, tell them I say hi.
We will.
Okay.
We're going to sleep over.
Ooh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to explain what your definition of ethics was already?
Yes.
Nice.
Simon did an amazing job. It was wonderful. I frankly wish we had recorded it for you.
Oh, yeah, do that. And then send it to me. I want to see it.
I'll send you a voice memo.
Hell yeah.
All right. Cool, well, we know what we're doing later tonight.
All right. Well, this city ain't going to recover itself. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You take care, 13. I appreciate all the work you're doing, and we'll try and be in touch when we're able to do so.
Hell yeah. Glad you're not dead.
Glad you're not dead.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right, dudes. Have a good one.
Later, 13 o'clock.
All right, later. Take care of yourself.
All right, dudes.
13's so cool. I miss 13.
13's so cool.
Hey, it's me, one of your GMs, B. Listen, are you caught up on Planet Arcana but hungry for more?
Well, we've got more, lots more, on our Patreon, where patrons enjoy perks like early ad-free episodes, access to members-only channels in our Discord server, and monthly episodes of our talkback show, Recharge. Recharge is special. It's where we go to decompress, talk about the events of the sessions, vent to each other, bully each other, love on each other, learn more about each other. And honestly, every episode we laugh so hard that we pee our pants, and that could be you. We're also excited to announce several new membership tiers on our Patreon. So in addition to the perks mentioned, you can also get in on an artwork club where you receive a new piece of Planet Arcana art in the mail every month. We have an exclusive merchandise tier where you can get a piece of merch that is only available on our Patreon, a tier with custom audio messages from the cast. We even have a tier where Jay and I will run a TTRPG session for you and your friends. We've also set ourselves some goals that we're excited to hit, like rerunning the heist at Riskotech with the player's unused characters, and hosting an exclusive online concert featuring Jay and Sky Wallace. Finally, we are excited to announce the launch of our official merch store. You can find the link on our website at planetarcana.com. Right now, we have 5 colorful designs for t-shirts, hoodies, or crew necks in a wide array of sizes, and we'll be introducing new designs over the coming months. So check out the Planet Arcana Patreon if that sounds like a good time to you. Follow us on our socials, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. If you feel like it, review and rate us. We love that. And thanks for listening, and back to the show.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I turn to Crater and Celestine, and I'm like, there's a thing, I don't know if we've like broached it at this point, but I feel like I've overheard it in the midnight hours. Can y'all introduce me to a sleazer?
Oh, okay. Yes, we need to be in a city, in a nightclub, at 4 o'clock in the morning. Ow. You have your first ever sleezer. I can't really have a sleezer in the middle of a cornfield.
That Why? Is true.
Not your first one.
We
right.
Listen, on our way into Riskotech, we'll stop in at a club. Before or after? Before. It'll make it more fun. We'll get a round of sleezers.
Why not during? There's a bar at Riskotech.
Yeah.
Even better.
Okay.
We will get you fucked up on sleezers once we end up in Trouble New Vega.
I'm just going to pull Simon's arm and quietly, you know, it is just a Caesar with a little something extra. And the last time you had a Caesar, you had a pretty strong reaction to it.
I did?
Yeah, you hated it, Simon.
Yeah, you hated it.
I actually can't remember what happened. I hated it?
You hated it. You broke Kratos' heart.
But it's going to be in like one of those like really long plastic cups. So it's like...
Oh, okay.
It's a different vehicle, so maybe you'll like it. It's a different shape.
Yeah.
Different shape, different taste.
I'm a big fan of something extra.
It's all Wooster, baby.
It's all, yeah, that's right.
Sea bugs.
Oh, man.
Back into the farmhouse you go and led into a nice little private room with one gigantic hammock that should accommodate the three of you.
Crater, you get on first to make sure this is structurally sound.
Oh. It's sound. It's like on the ceiling, but it holds.
Dog pile. Simon throws himself over.
Celestine will curl up at everybody's feet.
Oh, so
get in
cute.
Here.
I can fit right here.
A little fool cuddle puddle occurs, and the gentle swaying of the hammock rocks you to sleep, and you rise to another morning. At least one more.
At least one more.
Yeah. What's yeah. That was fucking ominous. What the shit?
I said what I said.
All right. Everybody say your goodbyes.
It sounded like it. I took it as a threat.
All right.
All right.
Well, off to the Phantom Isles, eh?
I suppose that, it's time to head back there.
Can we take the hammock? I like the hammock.
Should we just, do you want to steal a hammock from a creation
Steal
point?
Is such a what? Strong word.
Well, we're not going to return it.
No.
Like, it's like, it'd be disingenuous to call it borrowing.
I mean, can we just ask for it?
Yeah.
Pay for it?
Goodwill.
I don't know. We've got a little money.
Yes. I would like to do that, please.
We can always just, like, leave, like, 5 gold on the floor and then just take the hammock.
Mm.
That sounds reasonable.
That sounds 50% good.
Yeah.
That does sound exactly 50% good.
You didn't ask permission, but you left money. That's about right.
But you asked forgiveness.
Yeah.
And frankly, a 5 gold hammock, I think we're overpaying. And that's
for sure.
That's
all right. You know what? I'm going to pay for this. Here you go, Simon. Here's a little present for you.
Thank you. Can we sleep together every night?
Sure.
Almost every night, except for the nights that Crater's hanging out with Arbor.
Right. So warm.
Oh.
All right. Well, y'all, I suppose we should be on our way. I rather like Tudor Larch, but I think, you know, our presence here is a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And we should probably...
Go to the Jaggedy Jacks.
I want
to
be super clear. You two, look at me. Mm. Eye contact right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, are you both looking at me?
Yes.
Yes.
We are going to a hostile creation point.
Mm-hmm.
Person who is there is in league with Edict.
Mm-hmm.
So what's when we say hello to them, what's the one thing we're not going to do? Simon, I'm looking at you first.
Pee on them.
What? Okay, that. But when you say... Hi, my name is...
Crime and the Spider.
Crime.
Celestine, when you say, hi,
Crime.
My name is...
I believe Stanley was what I have decided on now.
I like Stanley.
I gave Stanley to Tudor Larch here, and it seemed to go over fine.
You know what? I don't care what you pick. I just want to stress how important it is that you do not say, Celestine Wanderoff, nice to meet you.
I didn't say nice to meet you at the first one, all right? I didn't do it.
Look, I understand, Crater. Nobody wants to keep a low profile more than me. I don't want to attract Edict's attention, and I know that Edict is, in many ways, focused on me specifically. And I'm gonna take off my hat and my bandana and jam them into our bag of holding so that I don't look quite as cowboy at first glance.
Mm, smart thinking.
I'm getting the hang of this. You were gonna rub off on me eventually, Crater.
Nope, I was not going to do that.
Gonna rub you off?
Oh my god.
Nice.
Nice.
Episode 69.
Just not letting any of them fly by, huh?
All right. Crater, say no more, say no more. No one's going to recognize me in these babies. And Simon, like, shakes the little weird, like, glasses that it's obviously him, but, like, he has glasses on. The Clark Kent kind of reasoning.
I mean, Crater, nobody knows who the hell Simon is anyway. They're looking for Riot.
Nobody knows who I am.
That's right.
I'm Simon. Yeah.
That he's criming. He's criming as far as anybody knows.
Yeah.
And until like a few weeks ago, he didn't really exist like this anyway. So out of anybody, Simon's attracting the least attention.
Yeah, that's true. Crimin's short for criminally.
Criminally?
Criminally.
Oh my God.
What?
It's perfect, Simon.
Thank
it's perfect.
You. Thank you. I'm undercover.
All right. Well, let's be on our way then.
Mm-hmm.
So you hop back in the Hawk.
I imagine we've done this fairly early morning, if you know, to try to like get up a little before other folks so we can make a discreet exit.
Yeah. That's a nice idea. Yeah, I think maybe Larch is not up yet. Taking a little snooze in, and you wake up nice and early. And the beautiful thing about the scuttle steps is that because you're in the prairies, the horizon is just endless. It's such a massive sky that when you wake up, the sunrise just takes up all of your view. And I think that like you wake up with purpose and start to walk towards the Hawk, but you almost have to stop for a moment and just look at all of the different colors of the long clouds across the sky. You get into the Hawk and you open up the little map and click on Jaggedy Jacks.
This is the closest we can get to Riskotech, I think. So that's our destination, right, folks?
Yes.
I think so.
Jaggedy.
All right, then.
There are two creation points in the Phantom Isles, but one is quite far north in, like, an archipelago? Archipelago?
Yeah, you know.
Archipelago. You got it.
Yeah, I nailed it
first. It in three.
Nailed it in six. yeah, it's sort of like in the middle of a pretty dense archipelago. So your best bet is to take the further south one, which is on the bigger landmass, which is actually fairly close to Venera Vega and almost directly south of Tropo Neo Vega. And so you plug in the Jaggedy Jacks creation point and you are sucked through time and space once again. You hear a breeze pass through the dense tree canopy above. All around you is lush green jungle, vines dangling lazily off tree branches. Toucans.
Toucans.
We literally never read this shit ahead of time. Toucans cawing, and a sloth hanging. The creation point structure is built into the base of a massive lightning-scarred tree with various platforms and ladders to different parts of the building. This one, you'll recall, Celestine and Crater, when Celestine, you went into that memory and met Voltrelect for the first time and you went on like a tour of a bunch of creation points.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize specifically the lightning-scarred tree as one of the stops that you made.
Okay.
You notice a number of kids running around here in the jungle, and pretty immediately spot the resident tutor, a rusted gears android. Clearly, they have lived a long life, and probably most of it lived here in the jungle. Deep green vines snake through openings in the gears, and it's hard to tell if they're slowing the motions of the gears or literally holding the tutor together. They move slowly and deliberately, and the gears on their face are ever moving, and on every spin, a new expression. Delighted surprise at a beautiful bird call. Laughter at the baby androids playing around the tree. Pleasant, puzzled reaction at the hawk that just appeared near the server. And this old, old tutor starts to walk slowly in your direction.
I just want to say I love that description so much that it's a real shame this person's an edict follower.
That's what you get.
Well, howdy, traveler. Welcome to the Jaggedy Jacks creation point, eh?
Howdy yourself, tutor.
I'm Tutor Cherry, they, them. Who do I have the delight of seeing appear out of thin air?
Oh, very, very sorry for the startle. Hello, I'm Bentonio Cavis.
I think Celestine can't help himself but give a quick jerk around to look at Crater. Like, what?
Shut up. It's good.
Ben Tony Cave Skull, yeah. Very nice.
Stanley, pleased to meet you.
What was that?
Stanley.
Dang Lee? All right, Dangly.
Dangly, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Actually, this fella here is
super.
Yeah, Dangly.
Yeah, Dangly.
And I'm Crimin the Crider.
Criminy Crider. Yes! Well, Criminy.
Criminitly, actually, but so close.
Criminy, Dangly, and Bangly. It's really nice to welcome you to this here creation point, eh? When, what brings you? Or don't tell me you're here to scale the Jaggedy Jacks.
Oh, happy scale the Jaggedy Jacks.
Oh, that's right. Oh dear. Okay, sorry, dear. And you see like a sloth like crawling up over their back. Oh, Sydney's hungry.
Sydney,
do you wanna say hello?
Hello.
She might nibble on you a little, but it's her teeth are as old as me.
The sloth's arm is just so slowly reaching down towards the car.
I
do need to cast Speak with Animals again.
Yeah.
And say a proper hello to Sydney.
Well, hey there, Sydney.
Hello.
Perfect. Reach out with just like a finger and a thumb and shake the sloth's claw.
Sydney goes, granola. Oh, Sydney, please. Oh.
Yo, do we have any granola kicking around? Crater, can you open the dash to see if there's granola?
Simon gets a handful of granola out of his pocket loose.
Oh, dear. So scary. Somebody just made a friend with Sydney as you got granola.
Yes.
Don't give her too much. She'll get the poopies.
Well, if you don't mind my saying so, that sounds like more your problem than ours.
Oh, dear.
I love her. I give Sydney the granola. Sorry, I'm having a bit of a moment. I love the sloth.
Very slowly does Sydney eat the granola, and Celestine, you hear her just like, oh!
Sydney seems to have enjoyed that, Simon.
I'm in love.
Oh, you troublemakers dare come in here giving Sydney treats. She's not gonna leave you alone now.
I hope so.
And how long have you and Sydney been friends?
Oh, well, to be honest with you, dear younglings, this here's Sydney 5. There's a long line of Sydneys who've accompanied me in accompanying the children and accompanying them on their spiritual journey there, which is, of course, the specialty here at the Creation Points.
Can I ask Sydney whether they were aware that there was four previous Sydneys?
Sydney the sloth goes,
So just as some context, sloths live around 20 years on average, so these sloths were being massacred, I think.
Oh, shit!
Something is really
more
wrong
here. Even more important for Sydney to answer this question, then.
It's a dangerous job, but it's an honor to serve as a Sydney.
What is the danger that y'all face?
You're too young to know.
I think there's something in that response that actually, you know, resonates with Celestine, and he probably just goes, yeah, I suppose that's true. It wouldn't be the first time that were true.
Well, now that you're done talking to my sloth, what can old Tudor Cherry do for you, fine crimin, slimin, bamin folk?
Nice work.
Thank you.
Well, you are, of course, correct that we have come to scale the Jaggedy Jacks, obviously.
Oh, all the you young people and your Jaggedy Jacks there.
I know it is. It's just impossible to resist the challenge. But I thought that perhaps while we were here, we might just take a little tour around the Creation Point for old time's sake, relive some old memories.
Deception check.
Yeah, all right. It's not going to be good. and if I were to try and cast Enhance Ability, would that like tip somebody off?
Cherry's pretty fucking old.
Oh, all right, so I'm going to go for it.
Sydney,
I'm going to go for it.
Do you need the potty?
and distracted by singing.
Oh, hey, yeah. All right. So that's 19.
Yo.
Yeah, do as you like. I'm sorry. Sydney needs the potty.
Well, we certainly wouldn't want to keep Sydney.
That's too much granola, Sydney.
It's like going down their back.
Oh, it's getting in the gears. I've got to go.
This is why the vines grow so well, because it's well fertilized in there.
I will ask that you offer a prayer at the... just offer a prayer. I got to go. Nice to meet you. Whatever your name's. Okay, bye.
Yes, yeah, nice to meet you.
Okay, so... Here's what I'd like to do before the tutor departs. I would like to cast Modify Memory.
I knew it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I think this is the first moment that Celestine has seen fit to use the gift that that Teaspoon gave him way back in the in those memories in Lux's what do we call it? The network
mind
manifestation.
Office.
Yeah, mind office. Thank you.
Mind office. Yeah.
And so I think this, I've been hesitant to do this because it feels wrong in a lot of ways, in the same way that casting Gesh that time on Cake felt wrong. But this is,
it's get over it.
One of edicts. And yeah, this is a matter of importance. So yeah, I'm going to cast Modify Memory. And it's a woe day for me, so it's a -6 to a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, okie dokie. What am I trying to beat with a saving throw?
Well, you've got to hit 20, and whatever you roll, -6 from it.
Well,
I feel like being a tutor would come with a little bit of wisdom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially at the spirituality creation point. What do you think? Mm-hmm. +4?
Yeah, that's okay. What I was thinking to say.
Well, I rolled a 9.
Mm. Ain't going to get there, I don't think.
I don't think that's going to... I don't know. I'm not a math person, but...
Yeah. Close, though, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so close, but no, unfortunately.
Okay. Then I am just going to...
Sydney, just hold it in as best you... Oh,
Sydney. So what I'm trying to decide here, folks, and we can probably cut this out because this isn't interesting, but I'm trying to figure out whether it's best to just, like, eliminate all memory of us or to create an alternate memory.
Mm. Can we take the sloth? I will jump off the Jaggedy Jacks if we don't leave with the sloth.
Well, that is going to present a problem, because I can only erase a memory that was created within the last 24 hours and lasted no more than 10 minutes.
Fuck.
So we can't get out of here without the tutor knowing that their sloth is gone. So we might have to come back for the sloth.
Okay.
All right.
But we will.
Oh, man. That's like when you wrap up a bunch of the loose end quest lines before... You know, leading the game.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Sloth acquired.
Yeah. Sloth acquired for sure. Simon, we will swing back for the sloth. Okay. But for right now, we need to make a clean getaway.
Fine. I need her.
So, yeah, I think that I think what makes the most sense if we're doing an alternate memory is that Tudor didn't notice us appear out of thin air. They saw us drive up.
Oh, okay.
Right? And there was only one person here. There was only one. There weren't three. There was one person. Mm-hmm. Anything that, Sean, Sky, you want to add to this?
It was Vlad.
Oh my God.
That's exactly what I wanted.
That is
there we go.
Fucking
yep.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yep. Wendy.
Oh my God.
All right. Okay. So the tutor did not see the three of us appear out of thin air in a hawk. The tutor saw Vlad Honorific drive up in a hawk and talk about scaling the Jaggedy Jags.
Yes.
Holy shit. He's the most wanted man on the earth.
Okay. And so if they were gonna make their way elsewhere anyway, then I think this is the right time to, like, sneak over to the server and jack in.
The tutor failed the save, yes, but when you go in there digging through their mind, you find it so remarkably easy and malleable, and it's probably because they're just so ancient. But you think it's going to be really hard, and then you add one detail and you're like, oh, so just keep adding more and more details.
Just to be clear, this tutor is probably only a couple years older than Crater, right?
Well, Gears androids live less long than Steam androids.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So a little bit younger than you, actually.
Look, everybody's minds age differently.
So true.
Yeah. And as you cast this and they're walking away, you hear Cherry just stop for a second and then continue. And they're like, Sydney, that's too many ruffles for anyone, let alone a guy his age.
So true.
Oh,
oh God. So Tutor Cherry's judgment has not declined that far.
Tutor can still tell how too many ruffles from just enough. Yeah.
So to the server.
Yeah. Let's and we'll do what we can to avoid Tutor Cherry seeing us. We don't want to mess with the modify memory or have to create another first encounter again.
I mean, there's a lot of kids running around here, like I said, and Tutor Cherry is both occupied with Sydney having the shits all over them really everywhere, and just the amount of kids that are playing and getting into trouble, just nice trouble. Like, they're just running around on the treehouse type structures, and there's lots for Cherry to do, so it's pretty easy for you to make it over to the server unseen.
Alrighty. That's good. Didn't know that Simon feeding the sloth granola was going to work out as a perfect distraction.
Who knew? I don't even remember where I got it.
Was it granola?
Interesting.
Your endless pocket.
It might have been beef.
I have glasses. I have granola.
Might have been beef.
I don't know.
Ground beef.
I just thought that Simon's wearing a bag of holding his pants, and that's where everything is being on.
It's a fade thing.
Maybe. It's where the milk comes from.
Oh my God, the milk sack.
The milk bag.
Not the milk bag, please.
The milk bag. It's a liter, and you have to snip the tip in order to get it out. Put it in there.
Oh my God.
If you know, you know.
I don't know.
If you know, you know. All right, well, you get sucked into the memory.
Yep.
All right, everybody ready to go in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yep.
Okay.
Jack me.
Jesus Christ.
Nice.
You sit at the server.
Nice.
And you jack in.
Nice.
Nice.
The smell hits you first in this memory. Freshly sawn wood and varnish. A coat of paint, an acrid ozone smell from recent welding. And more than anything, this is the sense and stimuli that reminds you most of your maker. After all, until the plan was set in place, he spent almost every waking moment in his workshop. You were born here. Recently, in fact. This memory is from long ago, even in relation to other memories you've gathered. You are a proper baby android here, and your grasp on your faculties are pretty limited. It will be a while before you even go on your creation point journey. Your speech is very basic, and in this memory, you cannot recall ever answering any of your maker's questions with more than one word. You sit upon a metal table, legs dangling off. Gears and screws and other miscellaneous pieces are scattered around you on the table. This is always where you sit when your maker is at work. It's the best vantage point. Your maker is hard at work today on something peculiar. It's bright and colorful. Wedges of different styles of art coming together in the shape of a wheel. It's big, probably 7 or 8 feet in diameter. This wheel sits in the middle of the room, and one practically identical to it is propped up on a wooden stand to the side of where your maker sits. His face is almost touching it, making tiny brush strokes with a tiny paintbrush. And he's chatting. Hard to say if it's to you, to himself, to the Wheel of Fortune, or just to the room.
Cleaning and tuning. Well, that's the public reason, anyway. But is this Rom? You paying attention? Rom?
Yes.
All right, now, is this the real Wheel of Fortune, Rom?
No.
Correct. Very good, very good. I'm nearly done on this replica. It's perfect, isn't it?
Yes.
And just look, this one's my favorite right here, the lovers. You see how they're looking out into the sunset? Isn't that nice, Jerome?
Yes.
And you understand. You understand, Jerome, that this must be kept a secret between Maker and Child.
Why?
Well, Jerome, the deal is that the relics power the amplifier, and it needs all 20 to work perfectly. And that's what I told her it'll do. Put every relic in the amplifier. It'll work perfectly. Now, she knows I'm making a fake one, so no one notices the real wheel is gone. However, she doesn't know that I'm keeping the real wheel. The fake one is going in the amplifier. Are you following me, Rom?
Why?
Well, that's how we stop her. Oh, don't fret. All you need to do is keep that part a secret. The part that... that the real wheel's staying here with me. Well, that and your immortality, of course. No one can ever find out about that.
Your maker turns away and begins to hum a tune. You look around next to you. I'm going to have everyone make a perception check.
27.
Oh, wow. 27.
Okay.
16 plus 11.
17.
Okay. Well, luckily, being in this memory together, you almost sort of share your senses. And that's not even relevant because you all succeeded, just barely for one of you. But you all see as Celestine looks around, and on another table, Celestine, you notice something. Sombra's temporal dome, the one that obscures her face in shadow. You've seen it on Sombra, and you've seen it back when you were fighting Scavenge. You saw it in his ghostly memories. He killed Magnifier, the cloud android who wore it. He took it from her. He delivered it to Mesmera. And further, your weight shifts on the table, and your hand brushes against something. It's a rectangular metal box, completely unmarked. There's a keyhole on the front. It sits upon a pile of papers. They are diagrams, pictures. It's very, very complicated for your young, young child brain to comprehend. But luckily, with you on this memory journey are two adult brains. I'm going to send something to Simon and Crater, and I'm going to have you read out what you see through Celestine's eyes, and we'll start with Simon.
This is fucking rad.
Very generous to call Simon and Crater's brains adult brains.
Yeah.
Particularly given the nature of what we've been...
This episode.
The bullshit that we've been spewing this episode.
Blueprints for a familiar Gears android body. At the top of the sheet, in industrial design lettering, the name ROM. The body is facing away from the reader, and the back is presented. There's a dotted line in a rectangular shape with an arrowed note to it, reading, "Receiver wired in." Fastened with line to LC. The rectangular shape sits square in the back of Rom's frame.
A top-down diagram of the box. An almost shocking amount of wires connected in an organized but overwhelming fashion. The lettering at the top of the sheet reads, "Receiver." A text box on the side reads, "General design, receiver compatible chip, to be LC grade CA 4.0 or greater, to receive remote delivery of all data upon program trigger."
And Fate sees you looking at the diagrams.
Oh, Rom, are you curious? Let me show you. Takes the papers. Here's your body. And if you follow these lines here, this shows you how it all works. And there's the rough in for your receiver. Isn't that neat, Rom?
Yes.
Well, and remember what I told you? What is the reason that you are able to house such a powerful device?
Celestine just shrugs.
Oh, Rom. It's all right, Rom. Listen closely. It's very important that you keep these two things in your mind, because these are the two things that you must keep secret. I'm sorry to place secrets on you before you've even gone on your creation point journey, but you're important. We're both important. The two things are the wheel being fake and your lifespan. This is between you and your maker. Me. Oh, criminy. Did I leave bean oil on the stove? I think I left bean oil on the stove. All right, you stay here, Rom. I'll be right back. Oh, jeez, Louise. Criminy.
Bean.
That's right. I'll bring you some, dear.
Fate walks out of the room in a hurry. You take a moment to observe the wheels both real and fake, upon which wheel do you leave a mark? And before you answer, once again, we're going to receive input from all three fools. Crater and Simon tell us privately which wheel they want Rom to mark, either the real one or the fake one. Celestine will make the choice afterwards, and Majority will win.
So what's the impact of this?
One of the wheels is going to have a marking on it.
So to tell them apart, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is interesting, because, of course, we found a wheel in the Underhush.
The Underhush.
And I think Simon was able to identify that as a fake relic.
Correct. Right. Okay. Celestine, which one would you like to go with?
The real one.
And so the real one it is. Celestine, what is the mark that you leave on the real Wheel of Fortune?
Now, remind me, the Wheel of Fortune, its segments are the Major Arcana. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct, yeah.
So I'll go over to the panel with the star on it, and I don't think I really know why.
Yep.
It's that one, but that one catches my eye. And I'll grab like a little marker or something to write with off of Fate's desk and just make a really small like one of those five pointed stars that you do all in one motion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And just like tongue out, holding it in his fist. Just for some reason called to leave his mark on this in a way that, like, I don't know, does anybody else ever feel like that as a kid?
Hmm.
When you're like, you saw something, you're just like, I just want to put something on there so that it it shows that I was here, and that if I ever see this again, I'll know that I was here. Other people won't know what that means, but I'll know
Celestine was here.
That drive, but just like, just really, really tiny, off in the corner of the panel, I'll make a little star.
Oh, and so you do. I think at this point, the memory becomes blurry, abstract, and you are slowly pulled out of the workshop and back to your place at the Jaggedy Jack's creation point.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers.
With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.